Hello, hello, hello. What is up, you guys? This is the Hybrid Podcast. My name is Noah Cole. I'm joined by the birthday boy today, Nathan Moore. How you doing, bud?
Yes, sir. I'm two in the sports mode. I was going straight for number.
Number 22.
I am 22 years old.
It's still a number.
It is, but you don't generally say, I am number 22.
So right now I'm doing this big thing. So my nephew, Theodore, is super young. So he's a year and like a couple months old, and
just a little guy.
Yeah, he's super cute, cutest baby of all time. But I'm doing this thing where I it drives my sister nuts, and I'm like, okay, well, technically, he's had two birthdays because you count the birth, and she gets so mad at me. I don't know. I think it's funny. So happy 23rd.
Thank you.
It's your 23rd birthday.
22nd, 23rd.
You've been alive for 22 years, but it is your 23rd birthday.
Technically,
so
Okay. But I don't know. I was thinking about it too, and 22 is when you turn 22, it's that birthday where you're just kind of like, okay,
yeah.
16 was great. You get your driver's license.
I get that.
18 is great. You're legally an adult.
Yes.
19 even is significant because then you can go to Canada and drink if you want to. 21, then you can drink in the United States. 22 is just kind of like, all right, well, I don't have any other significant birthdays for the foreseeable future, at least the next 8 years.
I mean, 25 seems like it's kind of something just because it's like, oh, you're halfway to 30. But that's not even really a good thing. Honestly, 30 is a big one. Then you're like your 40s, your 50s. Like the big number is like...
30 is kind of a cool birthday, but I don't know. I guess
I don't think it's as cool.
Big one is 50, which is in 28 years. So I don't have any other significant birthdays until then. So
that'll be your 51st birthday.
It's just, yeah, exactly. Depending on how you slice it.
Hey, we've got a ton to talk about.
We do. A lot of football.
I'm not trying to, you know, say I told you so, or anyone out there.
I was with you.
Hey.
I was with you.
Shout out to anyone who doubted me. SCO. That's a word that I just learned. We're leaving in 2020. I am not a part of that. So I will be continuing to use the word SCO. I'm not afraid.
Which
someone fight me.
It's perfect because you're wearing an Oregon sweatshirt.
Exactly.
Too,
thank you.
Which it originates from the Oregon Ducks, SCO Ducks.
Yeah,
our roommate wasn't a huge fan of the
Look, I have a problem. I say words too much too often, and typically it's fine. That's just me, and I'm okay with that. It's 2021. It's a new year, and I'm living with it.
Yeah,
that's fine. Hey, really quickly, if you like our podcast and you want to support us, there's a link below on whatever listening platform you are using. If you don't already follow us on Twitter, please do so at Hybrid Podcast. That's all one word, at Hybrid Podcast. We've actually been tweeting up a storm, so definitely get over there and check out our Twitter. But like I said, packed show. I was right about some college football stuff. We're going to talk about that, and it's actually wild card weekend. So we're going to break all of that down right after this. All right, so it's a new year. Are you really big into like New Year's resolutions? Is that like a thing that you do? Do you participate?
Not really.
You're like,
it's almost like sometimes I'll do kind of a mindset switch where it's like, okay, I want to get better at something or improve a little bit, but it's never set in concrete. Like, I want to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kind of like, okay, like I kind of want to improve a little bit in one certain area.
I got a membership at Planet Fitness. I've actually gone the past 2 days. I'm taking a day off. My arms are on fire.
Yeah,
it hurts. I'm in a lot of pain. It's fine. It's not even really a New Year's thing. Actually, I think the New Year's kind of makes it worse because like it's harder to get into the gym because everybody's there. And
just wait. In a month, it'll clear out.
Especially
nobody will
now
be
with
in there.
COVID, and I feel bad. It's like I went 2 days ago. I went and it was, you know, it was kind of later in the evening, and I couldn't, like, I just wanted to hop on a treadmill and do some cardio, and I couldn't. And it's not like they didn't have the treadmills. It's just that they had to block two in between each treadmill off because of all the COVID stuff. And that's frustrating. But anyway, what I'm saying is, if the College Football Playoff Committee is listening, I've got a New Year's resolution for you. Maybe just never put Notre Dame in a college football championship playoff anything ever again. How about that? Cool?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
I mean, let's look at their past three appearances. and anything related to even somewhat having a chance to win the national championship. So we have the BCS championship, and either it was either 2011, 2012, and they got just absolutely killed by Alabama.
Yep.
Just killed. It wasn't even close. From the opening kickoff, everyone knew it was over. I think by the end of the first quarter, it was over. Okay? And then we have a couple years ago, they get killed again. And then this past weekend, they get killed once again.
31-14. They did score late in the game to make it 31-14. It was 31-7 pretty much. I mean, it wasn't close. It really wasn't close. And you can watch after the first quarter, Alabama was up 14-0. Notre Dame couldn't move the football. Alabama, Najee Harris was doing stuff that was... I jumped on Twitter after he did the hurdle thing, and I was like, okay, this is just something else.
A cheat code.
Yes.
That's a cheat code. If you can just jump
when you have
over,
one of those guys...
Yeah.
The guy... The vertical on the... And he's... Najee Harris, I mean... First off, you want to talk about just an insane thing. He's like the third best player on his team and was like, what was he, fourth in the Heisman voting? Fifth in the Heisman? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This guy.
That's how stacked Alabama is. Not that any of our listeners need to be told that. They know that.
Everybody knows
that. But
again, it's just Notre Dame.
But it's crazy to really think about that.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, I mean, even just the Heisman finalists, I think they had three of the top five Heisman finalists, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that just shows dominance. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Did Notre Dame have any chance going in against Alabama?
No.
Do I think there were other teams that could have put up a better fight than I thought Notre Dame could? Yes. Was I that crazy impressed by... I don't know. I don't know who else you really would have put in there. I mean, yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. There is an argument that you could put other teams in there, yes, for sure.
I mean,
but Notre Dame, and again, I don't want to just hate on their entire program, but they're so clearly not there, and they think they are there, and that's what bothers me. It's so obvious that Notre Dame was not there.
Well, and the other issue is that it's, for years, we've been harping on the fact that they don't have to actually play in a conference.
Yes.
Okay, and then this year, COVID forces them to play in a conference. And then they have to go play. They have to prove themselves in the conference championship. They have to go prove themselves, and they have to show like, okay, we belong in the college football playoff. We deserve to have a spot. Reserve a spot for us. And they just didn't show up in the conference championship. But there just weren't any other viable options. So I guess they just threw them in there. And I mean, you could make the argument, once again, and we're going to talk about Cincinnati. You could make the argument Cincinnati could have been in there. They did a good job keeping up with Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like they even were going to win at one point. It was a very close game. And
Georgia, good program, too.
Yeah, so Georgia, I mean, Georgia is a good program.
Great program, yeah.
But they clearly, Cincinnati held their own against Georgia, who is a fellow SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's almost like you should have just given the team that was undefeated and didn't have a single blemish on their record. You should have given them the nod.
It's like, even if we, like, so I think it was Bleacher Report. Some company came out with a ranking of all of the college football playoff teams that have ever made it into the college football playoff, and they ranked all of them. And I got the notification because I'm a Michigan State fan, so it popped up and was like, okay, like, where does Michigan State's team that made it fall? And they were last. They were the last ranked team in the whole thing. And it's like, I don't really have a problem with that. That doesn't really bother me. It wasn't a good team on paper. Like, the star power against star power, that Michigan State team was never going to beat Alabama. They were never going to beat Derrick Henry in Alabama. It wasn't going to happen. And the college football committee looked at that and they made this prime example of, okay, maybe they're not the top, they're not a top four team in the country on paper, but we don't have a reason to say that they're not, other than the talent level is clearly not there. They went and played Iowa that year. It didn't look good. They won the Big Ten championship. It was like 10-7 or something like that.
It was also the infamous Jalen Watts-Jackson year, too.
Yeah. Right? So there was a lot of... They beat Ohio State because of a monsoon. Like, the weather was terrible, and there was the Michael Geiger windmill kick thing. There were so many different things that happened that year
that just had to happen.
Went their way.
Yeah.
On paper, on talent, in terms of the star recruits that they had no chance being.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that in the article. They were like, look, it wasn't that talented. It was the least talented team that's been in the playoffs. And it just showed that, okay, so the college football committee can sit down and look and put in a team that maybe isn't the most talented, like a Cincinnati. You know, on paper, is Cincinnati, can they match up with Alabama at all? No. Can they match up with Notre Dame? Not really. I mean, realistically, no. But did they deserve to be in? Because they didn't lose a game? Because they won their conference championship? Because I'd make the argument. I'm okay with it.
Me too.
Especially because Notre Dame wasn't going to beat Alabama. Cincinnati wasn't going to beat Alabama. It really didn't hurt anything to put them in. We knew Notre Dame wasn't... We said it on the podcast. We said it. They're not going to put up a fight. They didn't put up a fight.
And we had no problem saying that. A lot of times when you talk about how a team's going to lose, there's a little bit of doubt in the back of your mind where you're like, maybe they could pull it off. No, neither one of us had any doubt in our minds that they were going to get killed against Alabama. And I guess what really irks me with the whole thing is that all these years I've been hearing about how record is everything and there are no quality losses. If you have losses, you just shouldn't be in. And it's like, well, where was that logic when they were determining this year's college football playoff? I don't understand. Exactly. Cincinnati didn't lose one game.
Exactly.
And Notre Dame got destroyed in their conference championship.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you have to at least maintain a level of consistency if you're going to keep a lot of people happy. And I was... I don't know.
I don't know what's up with that. Is it because the selection committee changes every year? Like, they're not the same people every year. It's different athletic directors, coaches, mm-hmm. stuff like that, that are part of the college football playoff committee. And part of me thinks some of them just might think different ways. And granted, this year's super weird because of all the COVID stuff. And even Ohio State only playing so many games, and people were mad about that. Poked the bear a little bit. Nice. those sort of things. It couldn't have been easy to be the committee. But at the same time, like, you had an undefeated team that in a year of the BCS championship would have been right there in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just how the BCS was set up. I mean, I don't know. I think Notre Dame is kind of annoying at this point. I don't know.
It clearly, the main factor for leaving them out of the playoffs, Cincinnati, that is, mm-hmm. was just they don't play in strength of schedule. They don't play in a Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
But they beat multiple teams in their conference that also happened to be ranked. I mean, their conference wasn't a joke this year. It wasn't. Yeah. It was obviously it wasn't the caliber of a Power 5 conference.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the laughing stock of the nation.
This was just a weird year in general, mm-hmm. For college football, and it is entirely related to the COVID stuff. But it was crazy.
There were teams ranked that I've never seen even come close to the top 25 this
like
year.
Like Coastal Carolina being so relevant. I only really know Coastal Carolina for golf
because of Dustin Johnson.
Because of Dustin Johnson, and one of the guys I worked with, like 2 summers ago, he plays golf there. That's it. I mean, that's what I know Coastal Carolina for. Beautiful school. I've heard mm-hmm. really good things. I actually looked into it.
Anything in the Carolinas is going to be gorgeous.
So cool. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit... They're kind of crazy. I don't know. The mullet thing, I love it.
Yeah.
That was sweet. But no,
not even just them, though. There was another... I'm forgetting. There was another...
Louisiana was, right?
It might have been.
Yeah.
I think it was them, and then I think there was another team, too. It was just like, I would see these teams pop up, and they'd be like, oh, they're ranked 17th. And I was like, what? This I didn't even know this team had a football program.
That is a real thing.
You know? So I don't know. It was a weird year for sure, but I don't know. Like, I guess my point is just Notre Dame clearly wasn't going to do anything against Alabama. Cincinnati, we know now that they definitely Tulsa.
San Jose State.
There is definitely a big list.
Louisiana Lafayette.
There's more, though. There's another one. There's one that really jumped out to me, and I'm just forgetting what it is. I don't know.
Tulsa's kind of weird.
Tulsa's a weird one, but I mean...
San Jose State was undefeated before their bowl game. I don't know. The whole year is changing so much, and it was the reason it was, like, the Big Ten didn't play until late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the MAC didn't start playing until late. These different caliber teams and these conferences that really nobody had watched before started playing early, and then all of a sudden we just had some random undefeated teams and we're like, okay, well, we gotta put them in.
Mm-hmm.
So they did. I love it. I think it's awesome.
I just don't understand. Like, I don't think it would have been that hard to foresee that Cincinnati would at least put up a fight against Georgia, and it's like they've clearly earned it more than Notre Dame. And Notre Dame does not have a track record of being able to even be in games when it comes
Liberty.
To... Liberty. What it was, yep.
Basketball school.
The Liberty Flames or something like that? Yeah, the Flames. What a name.
They were super controversial early on during the COVID stuff. There was something going on with their president, because I guess it's a super like conservative school, and they didn't want, they were one of the first schools that were like, yeah, we're not gonna shut down. And everybody was like, whoa, we're all shutting down. Why are you? And they were like, we're just not gonna do that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how it ended up going down. I think a lot of it was like taken out of context, and there was like this huge fight or whatever. But I don't know. The whole thing was, I wasn't impressed. What I was impressed with, Ohio State.
Yeah.
I was so right. I everything that I said happened. Everything that I predicted came true. I remember I texted you and I was like, dude, I told you. Like, I told everybody.
I was with you. I literally was with you backing what you were saying. It wasn't me. Dude,
just let me have this one.
I wasn't opposed to what you were saying. I was backing it. I agree. Where I will give you credit is you were very firm in saying they're going to beat Clemson. Whereas I was more like, I think it's going to be a good game, but it could go either way. You were very adamant in saying Ohio State is going to win.
I feel like I was just as confident that Ohio State was going to win as I was that Alabama was going to win. And I was super confident that Alabama was going to win.
Yeah.
Leading up to it, normally I'm like, okay, especially when you like make a bet or you proclaim something like that, you're like, okay, I could see where this would go either way. And the closer we got to the game, the more confident I was. They would, different meetings, they said something with talked to Dabo Sweeney, they put him up, they kept plastering. I knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant thing.
You just feel it.
It's motivation. The chip on, we've talked about this. That chip on your shoulder is just a totally different
thing. Well, it's the biggest motivator in sports, and there's not a close second, in my opinion, at least. I think the chip on your shoulder is the biggest thing. Because, I mean, you look at, we've talked about it before, but you look at all these guys, and they were drafted in the third round, and they can name every guy that was drafted before them. I mean, these guys, when they are slighted, they're out for blood.
Yeah.
They're out for blood, and that's what Ohio State...
Did you watch The Last Dance?
I did.
You didn't watch
that? Not yet. I've got it. I know. I've got it recorded. I just haven't gotten around to watching.
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. And I never really grew up. I mean, Michael Jordan was well before my time. He was, well before my time. But one of the things I thought was really interesting with The Last Dance was all this. There was a whole section that they talked about it. Michael Jordan would just make stuff up. Like, in his head, he would go out onto a game and be like, oh, I can't believe their starting shooting guard said that about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he called him weak. He called him this. And did he actually do that?
No.
It was all fake. Mm-mm. It was all in his head. He would build a chip on his shoulder somehow. Greatest basketball player in the world at the time. And he would just make stuff up.
Well, that's so interesting because I think a lot of times coaches try to manufacture that chip on their players' shoulders, knowing that it really shouldn't be there. Because they know that like the impact is going to be huge and it's going to ultimately lead them to big things. But when a person can deceive themselves into thinking that there should be a chip on your shoulder, there's every reason to be a chip on their shoulder, that's
what I think made Michael Jordan one of the, like, how he got to where he was, outside of just being this absolute physical specimen where he was so dominant at what he did. But I think that had such an impact on
him. Well, and to a degree, Aaron Rodgers has done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
If you go back and look at his career...
I think all the major, like, big-name athletes have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume Tom Brady does that. Tom Brady has legitimate reason to have a chip on his shoulder with where he was drafted and stuff like that.
Not even that.
Not anymore, but...
Tom Brady didn't even start on his 0-11 JV squad.
Yep.
So he has every reason to have a chip on his shoulder. Whereas Aaron Rodgers didn't really. I mean, he was recruited well. He went to Cal, and he had all these great opportunities, and he still just really told himself, like, nobody believes in you.
Yeah.
Which, in reality, I think a lot of people did. Obviously, you're always going to have some haters. But he really, really tried to hammer it into himself. Like, dude, you really need to, like, it's you versus the world. And I think that is a good mentality, honestly.
Yeah. And I think that's played into, like, Aaron Rodgers being so successful and being such an incredible quarterback in the NFL. You need, I don't know what it is. And I don't know how Alabama does it. credit to Nick Saban, maybe. How do they get those guys motivated when they're that good every single year?
Yeah, a lot of that's just, it'd be impressive if you lost, because you just have such good players, that's you know? And we were talking about this a little bit. It's the problem I have with high school and college level football.
Yes.
It's the fact that a lot of times it's just a lot of strategy is taken out of it, and it's just whoever's the biggest, fastest, more athletic, they're going to win.
Yeah.
And I think that was the case that we saw that Alabama versus Notre Dame. They just have better recruits. They have bigger, faster guys. It'd be impossible for them not to win that game.
Yes.
So, and that's what I love about the NFL. That's what I've come to appreciate about the NFL.
Yeah, the Jets can win two games.
Yeah, and like I love the NFL so much for that reason. It is way more strategy and not just our guys are just bigger and better than you. You have no chance. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I love.
Like I truly believe that. Like perfect example, like the Rams. If the way the Rams coach was Sean McVay, if they execute that game plan, they can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can beat anybody. Well, hottest team in football, you can play the Rams.
And physically, it's just a level playing field. It is finally a level playing. You have middle school, peewee football, middle school football, high school football, even college football. It's all just going to be one team is going to have bigger, better guys. When you get to the NFL, it's finally a level playing field physically. And I love that about the NFL.
No, I completely agree. All right, let's talk about that. So the NFL, the draft coming up, a lot of the talk with the quarterback situation, Trevor Lawrence has been decided. He's the number one draft pick. We kind of talked about it a little bit, and we didn't really, like, I remember I texted you, and I was watching Trevor Lawrence play, making some of these throws, and I can see that has an offense that's loaded with talent. He's throwing to really good wide receivers. He has Travis Etienne. He has good running backs. Best offensive line in the country. Great players all around him. And he's making some good throws. He's quick on his feet. He's big. He's physical. He's kind of like a Justin Herbert where the size is like, okay, this guy's big. But at the same time, he looks skinny. He doesn't look like he would have the arm that he does, because we're not entirely sure what he would do against top-rated defenses. Mm-hmm. They're saying he's the next.
Well, we do now. He just played Ohio State and didn't look great.
Well, and even Ohio State, like that secondary isn't.
Their defense is not great.
No, and that's where it's like, okay, maybe pump the brakes. I don't know. I'm not an NFL talent scout. From what I'm hearing, he is the next.
Oh, he's the next coming of Jesus Christ. That's what we're hearing. He's just the best thing to ever happen to the game of football.
He does. He has the hair for that.
Yeah, he does. But I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. But I think you're right. We do need to kind of pump the brakes a little bit here. I mean, the guy, he won a national championship his freshman year. But since then, he's had two pretty shaky playoff appearances. I mean, he shouldn't have even made the national championship last year. True. The refs bailed them out. I don't even think that's disputable. The refs bailed them out. Should have lost that game. When they made it to the national championship, that he kind of just shrunk a little bit. I wasn't that impressed with him.
By Joe Burrow.
And that's what I was going to say, too, is if I'm an NFL GM and I have the number one pick, I honestly would be much more excited about picking a guy like Joe Burrow or Deshaun Watson over Trevor Lawrence. So I don't really understand. And don't get me wrong, he's a great prospect. He's gonna do well in the NFL.
Yeah.
But it's just I don't know why they're already anointing him as the next GOAT. That's what I don't understand.
And with that, so Justin Fields is also going. We're assuming he's still obviously playing in the national championship Monday, but there is talk that he will go pro as well, and he's kind of considered the two or the three quarterback outside of like a Zach Wilson from BYU. Before this game, he was the three. He was the three pushing the four.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was talk, okay, maybe Trey Lance is better than Justin Fields because he had some shaky games that he didn't look that good, and then he comes out here and hit every single throw perfectly. And now there's like, okay, should we be considered taking Fields over Lawrence? Should we definitely take him over Wilson? What is your take on that? Because I don't think it's that cut and dry.
That is a tough one because it's hard to just take such a small sample size, that one game, and just base your entire opinion off that. Did Fields look great? Yes. I think I probably would still go with Trevor Lawrence just because I think he has a much higher ceiling.
Okay, so you're the Jets now. You're the general manager of the Jets. So the Jags take Trevor Lawrence, whatever. That's what's going to happen. I don't even think you can still bet on it.
Well, the Jags have the number one pick.
Yeah, so the Jags have the number one pick. They took Trevor Lawrence. You're the Jets general manager. Who you drafting? You have Fields. You have Wilson. You have a guy like Trey Lance. You have all these. You also have Sam Darnold just as your starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Who do you take?
I think, honestly, and I texted you this before the game. I said, the one thing that Justin Fields needs to prove to me is that he can throw the ball downfield and with accuracy. And I think he really did prove to me in that game because he had several long, deep throws where he just tossed it. He just dropped it in on a dime, and it was to perfection.
Yes.
So I think I definitely would go Fields just because he showed me that he can step up on the big stage when he's in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, I don't really think can say the same after his freshman year. I mean, he hasn't really done a whole lot after his freshman year, that freshman campaign. But I sound crazy even criticizing Trevor Lawrence because I do think he's a great prospect. Like I said, I just really want to reiterate that. I really do like Trevor Lawrence, but it's like, he hasn't shown me as much as I would like him to show me these past 2 years.
So my understanding was always that college was super important.
Mm-hmm.
Like how they do in college, how they perform in college is so important. If I see a guy in a system and he doesn't look well, like he's not playing very well, I'm going to take the guy who's playing better than him in a similar system. And then for a perfect example, I would take Tua over a Justin Herbert. Based on everything that I knew about college football and how it translated to the NFL.
But now it looks like that would have been the
terrible decision, actually. Yeah. And that's where I'm like, okay, maybe there's some other guys out there that could, as soon as you put them in a good system with a good coaching staff, I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think Sam Darnold's could potentially be a really good quarterback.
Oh, me too.
I'm not an Adam Gase fan. I don't know if you are, but it's a reason to be concerned, right?
That's the thing too, is I really do actually like Sam Darnold still. I think he's kind of been held back.
You think he's going to get traded? You think he'll get out of there?
Well, I mean, obviously if they take a QB, they'll probably ship him off, but...
You think anyone would want him?
Yeah, I do. I think, say, the Bears or something, some team like that just kind of needs... Because, I mean, I think the Bears are a competent QB away from being a very good team.
How did the Bears make the playoffs?
I don't know.
I don't understand at all.
But, I mean, to touch back on Fields, though, I think the biggest thing with Fields, too, is that he has an NFL body. He really does. Like, he looks short out there, but that's just because he's so stocky. If you look it up, he's 6'3". He's a big, strong guy. And it's like you said Trevor Lawrence looks skinny.
Yeah.
That's mainly because he's 6'6".
Yeah, I mean, it's super tall.
It's hard not to look skinny when you're 6'6". Oh, that's just coming from somebody who's 6'4". Like, it's hard to...
Did you hear that, guys?
Happy
birthday. He's 6'4". Wow.
You know what I mean.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Just for perspective, being 6'4", 6'6", whatever, it's not all...
5'11".
It's not all great. There are pros and cons. And it's hard to put on muscle when you're that tall. So I will defend Trevor Lawrence in that aspect.
This Planet Fitness grind right now, man?
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. It's good stuff.
I know, dude, but...
Perks of not being 6'9", however
tall you are. Yeah, it's not all... gumdrops and rainbows over here.
In
the 6'4" world. But that's definitely one.
What's it like to duck whenever you come inside? That's something I want to know about.
Yeah.
So every time you walk in the door, I used to drive a hybrid, and you used to get in that. How was that? Walk me through opening the door.
It was like I had to. It was like back in kindergarten where you have to sit on the floor like crisscross applesauce. That's how
I still can't do that. I'm so not flexible. It's crazy. It's insane.
You know, when you were a kid, you couldn't?
No.
Really?
No. Did you ever have to, in gym class, have to do the V-sit? You know what I'm talking about? I don't know if, at St. Mary's, I don't know if they made you do it. But when I went, I went to Midland Public Schools. And one of the things that they did in gym class is it was this, like, national health fitness test. listeners out there know exactly what I'm talking about. I guarantee you. People know what I'm talking about. And one of it was just a bunch of like random things. So they made you run a mile. Mm-hmm. They made you do pull-ups. They made you do push-ups, sit-ups, all the different things to see how well you could do. And if you did well in all of them, you got a, it was like a blue badge or whatever, mm-hmm. and like a physical badge. And if you did well, if you did pretty good in all of them, or good in all of them and like okay in some of them, you would get this, you'd get a red badge, which is like the second, you know, the second best thing. It's like a presidential fitness award or something like that.
Yeah.
And I, you have to get above a certain thing in all of them if you want to get an award. And I would get blue for, I was a fast kid. I was an athletic kid. I played outside. I'd do really well in the mile, beat it, you know, win the mile, really good in the pull-ups, really good in the push-ups, great in everything. Blues across the board. V-sit, I'm just not flexible. I just couldn't do it. And it's this weird, they put this like wooden thing and then just like touch your toes. I can't do that. I just, for some reason, I just can't. I'm not flexible.
I feel like
enough.
Guys just aren't very flexible in general.
Apparently some people are, because they win these presidential fitness awards in elementary school, and then their moms brag about it in the lunchroom. I don't know. Nice. Just got a text message from our other roommate who's upstairs. And
what have you said?
His girlfriend has a presidential fitness award.
Can he hear everything that we're saying?
Oh, I'm sure he can. I try to get him down.
Even though
here.
He's a coward. You're a coward, Matt! You're a coward! Get down here! He refuses.
He refuses to be on.
I'm sorry. That was...
I kind of want to...
We tried to... Because you know what? Me and my our other roommate...
He's been on the show. Matt Locke.
He was on one of the early episodes.
We've talked about him.
Him and I go at it so much when it comes to sports. But we asked him to come on the podcast. He was like, no, not today. I was like, all right, well.
It's just your birthday.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know.
He's definitely just sitting up there just stewing, just maybe listening to every word.
We got to do an ad break. We're going to do the ad break. I'm going to run upstairs, try to get him to join.
Now that he knows I called him out
now
publicly.
It's publicly you've called him out. And so just so everyone knows, if you're listening to this, I know Mark is out there. He listens to this. Joe listens to this. Those are Matt's brothers. If he's not on the podcast for the second segment here, you know what happened. You guys know what happened. All right. So I'm glad. All right. So we're gonna jump into this ad break and then we will be right back. All right, folks. We're back. I'd like to introduce a very special guest, Matt Block. How you doing?
Happy birthday, War.
Thank you, Matthew.
You did it, though. I'm proud of you. I really am, because, you know, there was some talk that you weren't going to show up for this thing, but here you are. You've taken our challenge, because you were listening to our entire podcast from upstairs, and you're here.
So. Yeah, I didn't like what I was hearing, and then my name was being dragged through the mud.
Yeah, it was.
What did you not like?
Talking about the draft.
Okay.
And you said, Jaguars take Trevor Lawrence, probably.
Yes.
You said
it would be dumb not to.
And then you said, "Who do you take as the Jets?" And you listed like three or four quarterbacks.
Okay,
why are they taking a quarterback?
Why wouldn't they take a quarterback?
I don't think Sam Darnold's the problem in the Jets.
How many more years does anyone know? How many more years is on Sam Darnold's contract?
I don't even care. He's not the problem.
See, I agree. He's not the problem, but
he might not be the solution either. Like,
if you I don't see the Jets building around him after everything that's happened.
He is not the worst position they have. He's not even the bottom half of the worst positions they have. Why is that the one you fix first?
Because the quarterback's the most important position.
You don't have a line, they're not doing anything.
True.
You have a running back to dump down to, Tom Brady's done.
That's a fair assessment.
They have Jamison Crowder.
So you're saying go out and get a defensive Chase Young type player that's just going to totally...
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
I just wouldn't go quarterback.
That's fair.
I think you fix something else first.
Okay.
I don't think Darnold's had a fair shot to show that he's not the solution. But I don't think he's the problem.
Here's where I would disagree. I would say the best thing that they can do is, based on the draft, and there isn't a Chase Young type-esque player, I would be more than okay if they said, all right, we're going to take a quarterback, and then we're going to trade Sam Darnold and get some either later picks that they can fill in some of those positions. Maybe they can revamp their line, because sitting at that position, there's really not a ton of really like starting all time outside of your skill player guys. Like, you, there isn't a defensive end that I'm like, okay, this guy's the next Chase.
If there was a Chase Young,
if there's Chase Young was in the draft, I'd be absolutely fine if they took it.
But there isn't one that really stands out.
If they can trade, you know, Darnold, and they can get something for him, and they send him somewhere else, then it's like, whatever. Like, you know, I don't know. That's just my two cents.
Well, the other thing, too, is if you get a new QB in there, then they get to just completely start fresh from the top. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just, you have an opportunity to get a new guy in there, let him prove himself, build a new culture. Mm-hmm. And I get that, like, Darnold has been at a disadvantage. He's not surrounded with the best supporting cast. Yeah. I understand that. But sometimes switching it up at QB just is a good... I mean, look at Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. And I guess you could say that Josh Rosen...
I thought it was dumb when they said they're going to pay a quarterback.
Yeah.
Thought it was dumb. Yeah, it paid off. But you always talk strategy, long game. That's a stupid move, just talking at it first.
All time, though, like...
Worked out.
I mean, yeah.
Big Kyler guy, but...
Even if you are thinking, like, long game with the situation, like, who has the best long-term potential for your team? Who's going to equal the most wins for your team? Is it a guy like Josh Rosen, who we've gotten a sample size from? He played a lot that year, and then...
He didn't even start the season.
He didn't start the
season. Sam Bradford was the start at the beginning of the season.
Which is kind of a red flag, right?
Well, then he got the job from
him. What's Bradford doing? Is he hurt?
He's gone.
Is he retired?
He's just out of the league.
What?
Well, here's your other red flag. Josh Rosen took the job from him. You think he still has a job?
If Josh Rosen is stealing...
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, if Josh Rosen's stealing your job, you don't belong in the NFL.
He just vanished, though. Did he get hurt?
Well, he's just old, too.
He's got the floppy sleeves.
Yeah, he's been in the league for a
decade. I thought he was kind of good when he was with Minnesota.
The shelf life of the average NFL player is like 3 years.
You guys remember
when
Case Keenum was just like a really good quarterback?
Yeah, kind of.
That was
awesome. Yeah.
Sick.
I don't know. I think it is tough. I think I agree for sure. Like, if there was another... just huge standout defensive player in this year's draft, then absolutely. But quarterback is the most important position. I don't think Sam Darnold's the problem, but I don't think he's necessarily the best fit if you want to rebuild and completely start fresh. Plus, a rookie contract is huge. If you have a QB on a rookie contract, that's massive. But you don't have to worry about re-signing.
Sam Darnold hasn't really shown me anything. Like, a perfect example, Deshaun Watson is... the Texans quarterback. He's surrounded by no one.
And he carried that team.
His QBR is nuts. And he looks good. And he's proven to me that, okay, he's got a terrible offensive line, no wide receivers to throw to, and his running back has the same name as his backup running back, and both of them are hurt. I don't have a problem saying he would be a good fit on any team. But Sam Darnold, he doesn't have any talent. But he also has, like, Jamison Crowder, who you mentioned before, who I think is one of the better wide receivers in the league.
Definitely flies under the radar.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's on the Jets.
He doesn't have the offensive line, doesn't have the running
back. Well, the other thing, too, is a guy like Deshaun Watson, he's in a dumpster fire of an organization. True. But he's still, when you watch Texans games, he jumps off the screen and you go, that guy is special. Yes. You can't say the same thing about Sam Darnold. You just can't.
Do you agree with that?
I've never watched a Jets game in my life.
You've never watched a Jets game in your life? Have I watched a Jets game in my life?
I mean, little red zone clips here and there, but we've never gone out of our way to watch a Jets game.
Have you ever watched an Eagles game? Because that's what we were really here to talk
about. Yeah, that's the hot topic of the hour.
No point in watching them. They're going to try to lose them.
Exactly. So, basically, exactly that. So, Doug Peterson pulled Hurts out of the game, he wasn't having, like, statistically an insane game, but he was the reason they were in the game in the first place.
Down three, fourth quarter,
pulls Jalen Hurts for, what, Nate Sudfeld?
I don't even know his name.
Sudfeld.
Sudfeld?
Gentlemen, let's get that correct.
Indiana product?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good memory, though.
Thank you. I deserve something. That's kind of awesome. So pulls Hurts. He's also pulled Carson Wentz before. And goes with Sudfeld. Ugh, I don't like that.
Yeah, it doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Yeah, anyway, it's a big controversy because it kept the Giants out of the playoffs, because had they won that game, the Giants would have snuck into the playoffs. But the argument is, if the Eagles won that game, the only thing that they would have gotten out of it is a worst draft pick. War, your position, I believe, is that good for him. It was a smart thing to do in the long run of your organization. You want to have a better pick so you can get a better players in the future. Matt saying it's blowing up the integrity of...
It's a disgrace.
Ooh, I love it.
It's a disgrace to the game. And I think the root of this problem between me and old War here... We have different reasons for liking sports. I like to watch the game, the competition. War's about just strategy, long run. I don't care what happens in the game. If you're not going to make the Super Bowl, just lose. Win every game. I want the Cardinals to win every game. I don't care. When they had Josh Rosen, what, we had a 2-win season? Heck yeah, I want them to keep winning. I root for my team to win because that's what sports are for me.
I'm just
when you're trying to lose games.
Yeah.
What's the point? Why are you there making your millions of dollars trying to lose? We want to go up 3 picks in a draft that there aren't big names other than the top 2 quarterbacks.
Fair.
Okay. So let me say something. You said I'm a Lions fan, so
yes, that was the argument I was going to make.
That's exactly where I'm about to go. Being a Lions fan, we have sat in NFL purgatory for just decades, where you get the 15th pick, they have had top pick.
Three straight years.
But of late,
shout out Matt Patricia.
As of the past 5 years, it's just NFL purgatory, where they win 7-8 games, if we're lucky, yeah. And then they end up getting the 15th pick, okay? And it's just an endless cycle of getting good draft picks, but not great draft picks that are actually going to make a difference.
Yeah,
and I think the second that you are out of Super Bowl contention, you're eliminated from the playoffs, you should be thinking, okay, we're done this year. The point of playing is to win the Super Bowl, to be the best, okay? And the second that that possibility is eliminated, you need to be thinking about the future. And I don't understand why that's such a problem. If your draft position is going to improve from 9 to 6, which is the case here, right? Didn't they go from the 9th pick to the 6th pick with this loss?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, 3 picks is a big jump. And my other point was just in a month, nobody's even going to care about this. That's the problem. Is that it's like in the moment, it's huge, yeah, but. And a month from now, nobody's even going to care about this. And then in the future, it's going to help them tremendously. Because not only in the first round do they get the 6th pick now, it's just like every round it's improved. So it's like, I don't know. I am a long-term thinker in that aspect. And I get what you're saying. It does, to a degree, ruin the integrity of the game. But this is a business at the end of the day. Sports is a business. And your job is to be the best. And that means long-term thinking. But what I will say is I don't necessarily agree with the execution. I think that if you're going to do that, at least start Nate Sudfeld. Don't pull your... Because it looks like Jalen Hurts, they're going to be committed to giving him a shot in the future.
Yeah.
That's just a bad look if you're going to pull him. I don't necessarily agree with that. But you should at least start Nate Sudfeld.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it was a horrible look, I agree.
Optics-wise, it was disgusting.
But also, Jalen Hurts was, I got the stats right here, 7 for 20, 72 yards, and a pick with no touchdowns.
What were the rushing yards?
Taking him out guarantees the loss.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I don't know how you start, it's how you finish.
That's the end game.
So you said the Lions have had... Top picks the last 2 years.
No, top 10 picks.
Top 10 picks the last 2 years. And they didn't get any better.
Yes. It's a...
So you're losing games on purpose to get those guys who don't help you.
And that kind of stems back to, like, the GM situation, and that's why our GM doesn't have a job anymore. Because he was picking tight ends over star wide receivers.
I just can't wait to see who they pick.
I'm curious. I really am. I don't know
who
what
are they
do.
Just salivating for.
But I don't.
But that's not
who
even
are
the
Eagles
point.
Or the Lions.
That's not
the
even
Eagles.
The point.
Okay.
The team that threw a game to go up 3 spots.
I don't think they had a certain player in mind when they made this decision. Because even though Doug Peterson claimed that they weren't throwing the game, clearly they were. I don't think they have a certain player in mind. It's just we want.
I kind of hate
draft
that
position.
Too.
That's I don't.
I kind of hate that too. It was so obvious
so
what he was doing.
But also,
like,
just
admit.
But
to
what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to tell your fans? Like Matt? Like, oh yeah, we've lost them.
If that's what your strategy is, say it to the fans. Why are you hiding from it?
Because they
because they're ashamed of it because it's a disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he lied about it.
Because they know that the fans aren't going to react well to it, even though it's for the better of their future.
Like as a Lions fan, it's the same thing every year. We're right there in the mix. we're playing well. We always start out hot for some reason. And then we play the Packers.
Yeah, we delude ourselves into thinking we have an actual chance of making the playoffs. Yeah. And then halfway through the year, we start just falling apart. And then we have a crappy 15th pick. And then it's just an endless cycle. Yeah. And the Lions never get better. That's the problem we have.
But then you have, like, in the NFC East, for example, the Washington football teams with an S at the end. They go and they take a guy, you know, Chase Young, a guy who I really wanted as a Lions fan. I was last year fully on board with tanking the Detroit Lions. I was like, we need to lose every single game so we can potentially get this guy. And then they get him because our luck, and now they're in the playoffs. I just hate every second of it.
I guess this is really the basis for the NBA having a lottery system.
Yes.
So you don't tank. And
would you hate a lottery system in the NFL?
I don't know. That's a tough situation because it's like
our team always.
I like the lottery for that reason. Like I do think that you should be able to take if you want to.
It would be kind of cool if the bottom three teams all had the same odds. That'd be kind of cool.
But I also hate it because then there's situations like this year where the Warriors have the top pick. You know, so it's I don't know. It's just a weird situation.
I don't love it. I'm not a huge fan. I also really hate how Doug Peterson spells his name.
With a D.
It's not even his fault. It has nothing to do with him.
It just adds to the disgrace.
It's just, look at this guy.
He is just human over here.
Do you think they should fire him? Do you think the Eagles should move away from him?
Well, I don't think it was his.
Do you think it was upper management?
Yeah,
do you think it was above him?
I think so.
I don't know.
And he's just in trouble.
All the players are mad.
Yeah.
I don't.
There was talk that players were like they had somebody had to hold them back.
Yeah,
their head coach.
But don't worry, they won't care about it in a month.
Yeah, their locker room relationship is gonna be fine. I'll tell you that right now.
It won't matter in a month.
The thing I loved too was I logged into Twitter. Everybody was all the Giants fans and players were all up in arms about how this is just the worst thing.
Yeah, the Giants were the most mad about.
Yeah,
it.
And it's like maybe you guys should actually have won more games.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They put themselves in that position.
Yes, exactly.
It just sucks. They're like,
But I love Logan Ryan's response. I don't have the exact quote, but he's one of the DBs for the Giants. And he said, well, we have no right to be mad whatsoever. We should have just won more games. We have no right to be
mad. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
I do love that.
I love that so much. And it doesn't really.
It's like making excuses for yourself at that point.
Like
well, we would have made the playoffs if the Eagles wouldn't have put
you
Nate
have left
Sudfeld.
It in,
and it's like, okay,
shouldn't have left
well,
it in their hands. To
yeah,
begin
control
with.
Your own destiny.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So if anything, that's what I thought was wrong with the situation.
It's just weird because like everybody's so mad about the Doug Peterson thing, and like as a Lions fan, every single year I'm the exact same way. Like I was mad when we beat the Bears. Like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was mad. I was like, okay, this is just stupid. Like, we are mathematically eliminated. We're not going to make the playoffs. If we had a chance to make the playoffs, then I'm all aboard. Even if I know this Lions roster has no chance of winning a Super Bowl, like the football teams, they're not going to win the Super Bowl, right? But, I mean, they have a losing record, but they had a chance to make the playoffs, so you win to make the playoffs.
Well,
if the playoffs are
nice.
Nice. If the playoffs are on board, you have to go for it.
Yeah, and the other thing is you can't ask players to tank. So it's
true.
If you're going to tank, it's going to be upper management or the coaching level and just subbing in people to purposely make your odds go down.
Yeah.
But, so I mean, players never should be on board with tanking, I don't believe that either.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the GM that knows better and knows that this is going to help them long-term should be on board with it. But I get why players would never be on board with tanking. You're just too competitive. It's it's too ingrained in you to want to win every game. So I get that. But like from a general manager, even coaching standpoint, hey, this is gonna help long term. Let's just do it. This is a business. Let's use some strategy here.
No,
I love it. I agree. I get where you're coming.
I guess we're
that.
Just wired different because I enjoy watching my teams compete and win. I'm a Cardinals and Knicks fans. I don't want them to tank. I want to see my team win and get better because that's fun and that's why I watch sports. Please lose. Let me buy all your merch, but please lose. And it's just a crappy season. I want you to lose every game, as you said.
Okay.
Why are you watching football?
But if I know that my team isn't going to have any chance at a Super Bowl, I automatically just kind of, my interest is just docked down majorly. I don't even realize.
Then why are you a fan of one team?
You want your team to be the best, you know? You want your team to have a chance to
by losing every game.
It's like what you said. So you bring the Knicks into it. The Knicks were terrible last year.
Terrible for the last decade.
I'm a Pistons fan, and I know that the Pistons have no business. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're a bottom three, more realistically, bottom two team in the NBA. I still want them to go and win, but like if they got hot and I don't, you know, like I just want to see those guys develop, which I think is more important than them actually winning right now.
Kind of try to win to develop.
Yeah, yeah, play competitive basketball. And that's what the Pistons actually have been doing. They've been playing really competitive basketball night in and night out. Yeah, they'll lose by 10, they'll lose by 5. But like, whatever. They're 1-6, 1-7 right now. Like, I'm okay with it. But by the way, I really like your glasses.
Thank you.
Those are nice.
Thank you. I hope the viewers like them as well.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't like how much people think one pick in the first round is going to just change the franchise. Oh my God, the Eagles. They don't have the 9th pick. They have the 6th pick. This guy is bringing them to the Super Bowl the next year, making it all worth it.
Do you think it is?
You don't have to have a top pick to get a good player. You know who gets good players? People who scout well. You should be able to get a good guy at 9.
So when you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence, and we just talked about him, who people are saying, like, this guy might actually be, like, the second coming. Like, this guy might be something different than we've seen before. Like, Andrew Luck, but better. And it's a matter of, do the Jags get him or do the Jets get him? And when the Jets won those games, they were out of the sweepstakes for him. Do you think that matters? Because that feels like something that matters. Like, long term, if Trevor Lawrence has just so a significantly better career than Justin Fields or Trey Lance or anyone else, Zach Wilson, do you think it matters then? Because it kind of does, right?
No.
Why?
They don't need a quarterback.
Okay, but full circle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence's hair is too long, so why would you tank for him?
I actually saw a Photoshop of what he would look like if he cut his hair. It actually looks really good. I think you should.
You're so weird. It's your birthday, so we're going to let it slide. But weird.
No, it was in an Instagram page.
I'm sorry.
They posted the edit. So
anyway, Jets fans were elated to get a win. Fueled them, kept them there for the next season.
Well, because they're avoiding an 0-16 year. Yeah, that's big.
That's awesome. You want your favorite team to go 0-16 every year. I don't even know why you watch sports.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. And you know it. That is not what I'm saying.
If the Cardinals came out and were just bad next year for some reason. Would you, like Kyler Murray got hurt, and they're like, all right, season-ending injury.
Brett Hundley, let's go. I'm tuning in every game.
DeAndre Hopkins got hurt, season-ending injury. But then all the analysts are like, look, guys, if this team finishes with the number one pick, plus then Kyler's back, and then D-Hop's back, and then they have a solid running back, do you still want them to, like, finish with, like, a 15th overall pick?
And then get some scrub. Yeah.
Scrub.
Yeah, that's why I said
not a scrub.
That's why I corrected myself.
The best players aren't always in the top 10.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
it's not scrub.
You're great.
And these guys, next guy up, get to play and get better, and that's better than getting one guy who's maybe better than who we're gonna get.
So the Detroit Lions had the 3rd pick last year in the draft.
Yep, wasted
They took Jeff Okuda.
Yep.
Had they had the 2nd, they would have taken Chase Young. You're telling me that wouldn't have changed their franchise if they had the 2nd pick instead of the 3rd pick? It would have changed the franchise.
Massively.
They might even be in the playoffs right now.
Doubt it, but...
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that's a huge presence.
Okay, then go 0-16. Have a fun season.
Okay.
Now, but then in the future, we're going to help build, and I understand.
So every team that's not the Chiefs should try to go 0-16 because they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no. Go Bills.
Well, that's okay, but that's what I want to clear up. I'm not. If you are making the playoffs, then no, but.
Do you think the Washington football team can win the Super Bowl?
Try until you are eliminated from playoff contention.
They got Chase Young.
Chase Young. Change your franchise.
It will change your franchise.
You will. But what I'm saying is, obviously try until you're eliminated from playoff contention, and then I am okay with tanking. In this situation, the Eagles aren't going to make the playoffs anyway.
It's not really tanking, it's just losing it.
Well, yeah, losing that game, all it did was help long term. It didn't, what would winning it do? What, they add another win to their record for the year, which is meaningless anyways because they're not going to do anything. That's what I'm saying.
Could give
losing the game does a lot more for them long term than winning the game.
I think it messes up your locker room, which is worse.
Well, the way that they you go up three
picks. I do
the way that they
execute.
I
messed up the locker room, and I doubt they even get a star with the pick.
And that's
you're
a
gonna
fair
be so
assessment.
Interested. Come when that.
Well, luckily, none of this will matter in a month.
Thanks, War.
It won't. I'm telling you.
Anyway, we got a wild card weekend starts tomorrow. You guys have any projections for who's gonna win some games? Kind of nervous.
I am very excited for the Ravens Titans.
Ooh,
game.
We get to see Lamar.
Yeah.
I want a Lamar loss. And I want the Steelers to get nowhere.
That's pretty. So.
Well, yeah, that's another thing we need to talk about is the Steelers-Browns game.
Oh, yeah. Well, Stefanski's not coaching.
Well, yeah, that's
which
the
is
biggest
the Browns haven't even practiced this week.
They haven't practiced, and then the cherry on top is that your head coach who brought you here, he just won't even be on the premises.
I do kind of think it's funny because the Steelers, like, all season long have just been getting these, like, handed to them wins.
On a silver platter. Yeah.
That's what War says.
Use another
time.
War phrase.
They have, and now they're just playing the Browns in the playoffs, who are good. I mean, they're not great. You actually made this pretty bold claim the other day that the only thing holding them back is Baker Mayfield, which we might have to talk about.
I'll address that for sure. I don't hate Baker's character or his personality or anything. I actually think he's a good leader and everything, but I've just seen him miss way too many throws this year to really back Baker Mayfield's play.
He does wear his hat backwards.
That's the problem I have with Baker Mayfield. It's just I've seen way too many. I mean, guys streaking to the end zone, 15 yards away, wide open. There's not a guy within 5 yards of him, and he misses them. That's your franchise QB, really?
They should go 0-16.
That's just the solution to everything.
Apparently.
They've done that for like every year.
He is the biggest hit or miss player in this league.
Okay, but...
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And you know, when he hits, the Browns are phenomenal.
Yeah.
But to get to the Super Bowl, you gotta win 3-4 games in a row. There's not a chance.
You need consistency.
Yeah. There's not a chance, so they should try to lose.
No.
See, that's the other thing.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing is that you say just because their odds are not very good to win out and win the Super Bowl, they should just tank. But that's not what I'm saying.
Hey, don't get mad at me if you're trying to think long term.
I am saying once they are mathematically eliminated from playoff contention, then they can start doing it. The Browns are not mathematically eliminated from contention. They're
in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl, which is the whole point of the thing. Once your Super Bowl hopes are dashed, then you can tank, and I don't care.
It's his birthday. He can get heated. He's allowed.
So it's a good take, War.
Thank you. It is.
Okay, I think the Bills are going to win.
No, it's just the mediator over here.
This is weird. It's like, oh, simmer. You're mad. You just get loud. I don't know.
I don't know what I dislike more. Liking tanking or being a huge bandwagon? I don't know what's worse.
Well, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, we need some comments on the Bills fandom from Mr. Cole.
There is a Bills flag
hanging
in my living room. And I are there any Bills fans here? No!
It's me.
I'm the Bills fan.
I started liking the Bills when they took Josh Allen. It's like you being an Anquan Boldin fan.
You mean when you got Josh
Allen
in fantasy
football? And
you
being a Tom Brady fan.
So his rookie year.
I liked him when he was at Wyoming and he played Central in the bowl game. And he just dusted us. And I was like, okay, this guy's crazy good. And I was like, all right, I'm going to follow this guy going into college. And then he went to the Bills and played terrible. And I was like, okay, I still like the guy. I put him on my fantasy team. I picked him up. I was like, okay, this guy, like, he's cool. He's got this crazy arm. He throws the ball, like, 80 yards. It's like, okay, this guy is nuts. And then he just woke up one day and decided to be really good.
Like Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
Who War says is not an elite QB anymore.
Ryan Tannehill's not an elite quarterback anymore?
I didn't say that. I said he's not on the level of Aaron Rodgers, which I think everybody would agree with.
That's going to make Joe Block sitting at home really happy that you said that.
I also need to shout out Equanimeous St. Brown, too, for Joe
Top
Buck.
Five receiver in the league.
Yep.
Who?
Yeah, that was a legitimate who. That was not... You actually don't know
I have
who
no
he
idea
yeah.
who you're talking about.
He's one of the Packers receivers. Equinemonious, something like that.
I don't know.
Equinemonious.
I guarantee I can't buy his jersey online.
He's really good. Because War said if you have Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, you're going to be a really good receiver. So all the Packers receivers are really good.
I mean.
What? I don't know who this guy is, and I feel bad. Like, I should know who he is. But I don't know who he is at all, if we're being honest.
He was in Joe Block's top five, so
clearly, oh, that's right.
Clearly he's a pretty good receiver.
Shout out, Joe.
Love that guy.
Nice guy. Every time I've seen Joe, this is a true story, he's shot a rabbit. Every time I run into the guy, he's got a rabbit in his hand.
Two
it's,
for two.
It's bloody. Yeah. It's like, I'm up in the UP.
I'm
up in the UP with this guy, and he just finds a rabbit and he kills it. It's awesome. He's a cool guy.
Yeah,
shout out.
He is.
Big time shout out. Any other bold wildcard weekend predictions?
As a Tom Brady fan, I'm a little...
You think the football teams are going to get him?
I'm a little uneasy about this matchup.
It's weird that it's in Washington. And I know, like, home field advantage...
Division winner.
Home field advantage doesn't really matter, but, like, they especially have a losing record and they have the home
This is what I've been saying. I've seen this to a couple people. I'm not against the division winners getting into the playoffs, okay? You're the best of your division. That's something. Even, I mean, this is a... How many times has it happened where the division is just awful top to bottom?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. But they shouldn't shoot to the fourth seed.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Why did they get...
They should be
why
the last
they get, why do they get an easier path to the Super Bowl than these teams who have 10 wins?
Well, it's just weird because it messes everything up. And now it's like, okay, well, the Bucks now have to play the fourth seed... Which isn't actually
the actually like the 12th seed.
It's like the worst team in the draft. I don't know.
Shouldn't it really go by just the criteria now, but then once you get the teams, then it's just it goes by record?
Yep. Yeah, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
And that's such an easy fix, but
once again, like easy fix, but for some reason it's just they don't implement it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
That bothers me. I do agree that they shouldn't have the home field advantage thing, even though it's really not a thing because of COVID.
They don't even have a name. Like
they're the football teams. We talked about this.
Yep.
I love it. I hope they're like that forever. I hope the that team in Cleveland, that baseball team, I think they should be called the baseball teams now.
I think it'd be cool.
Honestly. I'm more than okay with that. Just call it what they are. They're just honest. They're the football teams.
Honesty is the best policy.
That is factual. I know you guys are really excited for the Ravens-Titans game.
Not really.
All right, what game are you excited for?
None of them.
Because the Cardinals aren't playing? And you want your team to lose every game?
No, I don't want them to lose every game. I want the Bears to lose, and I want the Rams to lose.
Okay, so you want the Bears to lose to the Saints?
Yep.
Why?
Because the Bears took the Cardinals' spot.
Oh. How did the Bears get into the playoffs?
And I like Drew Brees.
I'm telling you, though.
Retiring after this year.
I know.
That's what people are saying.
I know it.
I'm telling you, though. The Bears are a Deshaun Watson away from being a good team. I think if they had an even somewhat competent QB in there, and Deshaun Watson definitely qualifies as a competent QB.
It's a good defense.
But speaking of Deshaun Watson, that whole debacle has kind of gone off the rails.
It's quite the debacle.
It kind of is. Like, he went to their general manager and was like, hey, I want you to interview Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's the guy I want. Like, that is the...
You should take
him as your head coach. And they didn't even interview him. They, like...
They were the one team with a head coaching vacancy that didn't interview Eric Bieniemy.
Which is just so dumb. Just interview him, even if you're not going to take him. Just so your quarterback doesn't hate you.
Optics-wise, you have to at least give the guy a look.
Yes.
But instead, they...
You're shaking your head no.
No, I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't think that they should let him, you know, play LeBron James and this is who you hire, blah, blah, blah. I mean, look at him.
Give him some input.
Give him some input, you know, talk to the guys that he likes. Yeah. But, like, I think they said, we were watching Get Up, they lied to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even interview the guy. He said, like, no, he shouldn't make the decision, but come on, he's your franchise player.
Yeah.
He's carried you for two straight
seasons. You said earlier that there was talk that he's requesting a trade?
Yeah, so they said, per reports, they aren't trading him no matter what. Even if he requests a trade. So basically, Deshaun Watson is just in prison in Houston.
Yeah.
He's never getting...
$39 million prison sentence.
Yeah, not the worst...
Good point.
Not the worst situation to be in. But still, he's being held there against his will, basically. Free Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I don't hate it. Yeah. It's fine. You think, wait, did Miami not make the playoffs?
They did not.
They had to beat the Bills week 17, oh, yeah, and they got killed.
Tua couldn't get it done.
How do you feel about that? You think Tua should be the starting quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, for the future? Or do you think they should pull a similar... You're a Cardinals fan. You know this better than anybody. You think they should... Because they have Houston's pick. They have the third pick in the draft.
Yep.
Should they be like, nope, we're taking one of these guys if they're available?
Yeah, I'd take one of those guys if they're available. And then I would try to lose every game to get there again.
Wow.
Because that's long term.
So, okay.
I say they run with Tua one more season.
All right. Okay. Give him one more chance.
I mean, I'd trade Fitzpatrick. You can get something for him.
Oh, yeah, definitely trade Fitzpatrick.
Because if you're not going to go with Tua, like, I don't love having Fitzpatrick as your franchise for the future. I mean, he's good now, but I don't think he has much time.
Waiting in the wings. Yeah.
So I wouldn't save him as your backup. I would draft someone as a backup if it doesn't work out with Tua, because you should be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd trade
him. You're more so okay with him taking, like, a quarterback late in, like, the draft?
I guess.
Like, it's like...
Just as, like, a... insurance policy.
Almost. Yeah, I guess if you want to use one of your late picks. I mean, if it doesn't work out, then you're going looking at your first round or the next year.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Well, the problem I have with Tua is that he would struggle, and then Fitzpatrick would come in and just tear it up and look much better.
Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't have weapons, and that's the number one scoring defense in football. Yeah. And it's like, wow.
That's the thing. I saw firsthand how good that defense was.
Yeah.
When I had Tua in my fantasy lineup. And they were killing teams, and he had six fantasy points.
Yep.
Oh, three defensive touchdowns.
Yep.
This man doesn't even touch the ball.
Some of us picked up... Yeah.
I knew that was
coming. Picked up their defense, and then still missed the playoffs.
The super team.
All right. Really funny.
We won't get into that.
Everybody's laughing at home. It's just you, birthday boy.
Yeah, I can get away with some things today, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. You guys got anything else? Any other fun things you want to talk about? Or what are you doing for your birthday?
Eating some steak.
Yeah, we are.
Eating some cupcakes. Probably crack open some
water.
Some water. Yeah.
Some pops.
Yeah. The Knicks are 5-3.
The Knicks are 5-3. You know who's not 5-3?
Most teams.
Yeah. You're right. I was going to say the Pistons.
Yeah, Killian Hayes looking nice, though.
Oh, my gosh. On in a stretcher.
Yeah.
That actually is really frustrating.
It sucks.
Yeah. See, I just wanted the Pistons to lose every game so we could get Killian Hayes, and then he...
And look what happened. Was that worth it?
Long term.
Oh, yeah, because you can definitely account for injuries.
Okay, but it's not a given.
You're not wrong. I see both sides to it.
I'm not wrong, and war's not right. We'll end there.
All right,
folks.
We'll let the listeners decide for themselves.
Yeah, shoot us a DM. See what happens. I don't know. I'm curious what people think out there. Huh, it is what it is. Well, thanks for coming on.
Really appreciate it.
Oh, you had every reason not to. I mean, it's not like we... Public,
not like we yelled up to you and family. Called you a coward or anything.
That was you. That was entirely you. You're the one screaming here. We're at our apartment in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. You're just screaming.
I just wanted him on the podcast.
You're lucky your neighbors aren't banging on the walls right now. Because they tend to do that.
They do. Whenever we make the slightest noise.
Watching sports.
Yep.
Well, okay, so like it was my birthday. If we're in the mood for birthdays. So my 22nd birthday, we're here. And we don't even have, like, it's 9 o'clock on a Friday. And they come over and they're like, you're being too loud. And we weren't even being loud. Like, we were listening to music or something. It's a Friday in a college town. Calm down.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I did not think this would turn into...
Read the room. Read the room. Just a little
bit. Read the writing on the wall.
Hey, with the silver platter.
He's three. He used all three of the war phrases in one segment of the hybrid podcast.
Do you have a sign-off that you say on the hybrid podcast?
No.
Do you have a phrase?
Noah's got
the reins where that's concerned.
Oh,
it's just another thing. Hey, we should get your brothers on here. For real.
Yeah.
I want to learn about this guy who you mentioned earlier, this wide receiver, who let me tell you right now.
Quinnamonious St. Brown.
Had you not said that, I would not have known his name. And I've already forgot it. Quinnamonious?
No.
No? Okay. St. Brown? That guy. He's pretty good.
Equinomious.
How do you spell that? With a Q?
It is EQUANIMEOUS.
I have no idea. What is? Does he put any numbers up?
There's
no way that guy's good.
Aquanimeous St. Brown. Aquanimeous. I think that's what it is. It's Aquanimeous.
Yeah, but he has Rodgers for a quarterback.
That's true.
Joe is just pulling his hair out listening to this. Like, you idiots, that's not how you say it.
You know, he knows. Yep. Oh, boy. Hey, really quickly, if you like our podcast, this is the Reigns thing where I take over. If you like our podcast and you want to support us, there is a link below on whatever listening platform you are using. If you don't already follow us on social media, what should you do?
You can follow at Hybrid Podcast. That's all one word, at Hybrid Podcast.
I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that, Mr. Bar.
You can tell who's tweeting from it because when it's a paragraph, it's war.
If the emoji is blonde, that's war because I don't have blonde.
The emoji is blonde. If it's a paragraph, if it says AJ Brown, or if it's just a terrible take, it's war.
Appreciate that, actually.
There needs to be, yeah, that's what we need to start doing. Just put an emoji at the end, and if it's blonde, it's me. If it's brunette, then it's you. I think that's a good idea.
We can do that.
Honestly, I think it is. And I know you appreciate my honesty, so.
All right, War, it's your birthday. We're gonna wrap this up. Right. Hey, everybody, have a really safe and productive work week. And as always, fire up chips.
Yabba dabba do.
All right. Anyway, fire up chips.